Well, we have much to be thankful for this morning. They mentioned thanks for home. The other day I got sick and I made it 2 blocks from the job to that woods parking lot. And my wife had to come get me. And when I walked in home, as the first thing I think was on my lips, thank you, Lord, for getting me home. And the bed. That bed felt so good. I'd like to, and it's sure good to see everybody again. It's sure good to be back. Sometimes we take things for granted, but we're very thankful when the Lord helps us. I'd like to share a little message this morning on the fill in the ranks of the mighty. And I'd like to start out in the book of 2 Samuel. Second Samuel, the 23rd chapter. And I'll start reading at the 8th verse. Getting the right book here. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. And I'm not for sure on the pronunciation of all these names, but I'll do the best I can. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 when he slew, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. These are some of the men that were with David that made. They were mighty men that knew how to fight and how to overcome, and God worked through them. I noticed it said that, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. The Lord worked through these men to bring about victory. One place the Israelites had already fled, and this man was left alone to fight, and all of his comrades were running. Running away, and he stood his ground. And it said they didn't return back, but to get to the spoil. After the battle was already won, that he won the battle, then they came back and was able to partake of the spoil. But I think about how God today is looking for people. He's looking for men, women, young people to be able to stand in the gap and to hold ground and position and to be valiant for Him. And I want to mention here that it's not our strength and it's not our ability. It's not what we can do within ourselves. The secret of it is when we lend ourselves to God and we give ourselves to the Lord, it's Him that does the work through us. It's not us. It's Him that works through us. But God uses human vessels. He uses people just as He did there. He does now. He uses people. And we want to, we go through all the many different scriptures. This is our lineage. This is our heritage of mighty warriors that have fought battles, that have obtained victories and crowns. And that's the heritage, I believe, of God's children and of His family, is to be able to be victorious in our lives and be what God is calling us to be. Not only just for us, but for our families and for those around us as well. And He's looking for mighty men. He's looking for... we may not feel mighty within ourselves, but He's looking for willing hearts that He can work through and use and be glorified in. And David's mighty men, they were mighty men, and God brought wonderful victories through their lives. I want to notice now in the book of Joshua, the 24th chapter. Joshua, the 24th chapter, and the 14th. We'll start at the 14th verse. These are Joshua's closing words to the children of Israel. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will serve also the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. I was thinking here about how Joshua was, he told them that God is a jealous God. That you can't serve all the gods in the land and serve the Lord. The Lord wants your affection. He wants your love. He wants you. He doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. But I know today that the enemy is doing everything he can to divert our attention, our affection, our desires. He wants to divert them to the gods that are round about us. Now, I've been reading a little bit in the book of Jeremiah, and the destruction that came upon them and the trouble that came, they continued to worship at the temple. They continued to bring their sacrifices and offer their sacrifices at the temple. But at the same time, they had a lot of other idols and things that they were holding on to and serving. And Jeremiah told them, you can't do that. You can't serve. You're going to go into Babylon. You're going to go into captivity. And I know today the enemy is busy trying to get our attention, trying to draw our affections to the gods of this world. To the gods, and we're surrounded. We live in a world, we're surrounded. And I know there's not many idols that people are physically bowing down to. But in their hearts, there are idols that people are giving themselves to. And God becomes second place. He becomes third place and fourth place. And pretty soon, it's like God doesn't have hardly any influence at all in their life. And that's what he's saying here. He said, put away the strange gods that are around about you and serve the Lord. And he set up a stone. And I'm going to say this morning, it's very important and valuable for us in our lives that we enter into a covenant with God to be Him, to be His, and to Him to be ours. The covenant that God has given us is not a covenant that we can adjust, that we can write. He gives us the covenant out there. He gives us His Word. He puts it out there. We can sign our name to it, or we don't have to, and that's what Joshua has told them. He said, if it seems evil to serve the Lord, then don't serve Him. Serve the gods that you're following after. But He said, choose you this day. Make a choice and a decision. And you know, that's really important in our lives today, that we just don't go through life carried about with the whims and the things and just everyday life that comes and goes. But that we're making choices in our lives. Lord, I want to serve You. I want to put You first in my life. I want You to have Your will and Your way in my life. And when we do that, that is making a covenant. They put a stone, they used the stone there. But we need a place in our life where we recognize that I've turned my back on sin. I've turned my back on this present world. And I've given myself to God. And we need to renew that when we need to renew that. But we want that to be a place, an Ebenezer, a place where we've given ourselves to God. And the Lord will bless. And He wants a covenant with us. We see in our world today many times men and women cohabitation. Just living together. Instead of entering into vows and matrimony, they're just living together and they're seeing how it's going to work out. To see if they're compatible with one another. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is for a husband and wife to be married, to exchange vows, to enter into a covenant with one another, an agreement with one another, that I'll be there for you and you'll be there for me and I forsake all others for you. That's the Lord wants a covenant with us, His people. And it's very important that we make that covenant, that we come to the place, Lord, I'm giving up my sins. I'm giving up the gods that I've served. I'm giving up this world and the things that this world has to offer. And I give and I bring myself to You. then God is able, when we do that, the Lord is able to begin to work His work through our hearts. He's able to live in and through us. But unless we yield, unless we open the door, unless we make that covenant with Him, we limit Him of what He wants to do. And I know sometimes we can do a lot of things just like they were doing in Joshua's day. They were trying to serve the Lord, and yet they had all these other things they were serving too. Lord, help us today to have a holy covenant with God, that we belong to Him, and He is our life, and He is our all and our all today. Joshua made a covenant, and he set a stone for a reminder, and we need those places in our lives too. We need those places of reminder stones. Lord, I'm going to serve You. I'm going to give myself to You fully. And when we do, God accepts that blank. And like I mentioned before, it's not a covenant. And I want to tell you this. I've been guilty of this in my life. There have been times in my life when I've tried to serve God on my terms. When I tried to do it my way. When I tried to serve the Lord, and yet at the same time there was some hardness and in my heart and unwillingness in my heart, and we stifle God working when we're in that place. We stifle His Spirit from moving in us and working in us when there's a hardness or there's a rebellion against Him or there's a lack of surrender in our lives. We hinder what God wants to do. I want to go to another scripture now in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and the 21st verse. This is a similar situation. 1 Kings, you remember Baal had taken a preeminent place among the children of Israel. 1 Kings 18 and 21, and it said, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Why did they not answer a word? It was because he was right. They were halting between two opinions. They were divided on which way they were going to live their lives and the direction that they were taking. They had been familiar with the God of Israel. They had been familiar with the sacrifices. But yet Baal had risen up among them in prominence, and there was a lot of people serving Baal and following after Baal. You know, there's a temptation when there's a lot of movement and there's a lot of forces around us. It's almost easy just kind of to fit in and to move along with that movement. But it means something to serve the true God and to live for Him and to be devoted to Him and not allow the gods of this world to have a place in our heart and our life. And we know that I'll just paraphrase it. Elijah told them to build an altar and make a sacrifice. And the God that answers by fire, He said, "I'll build an altar and sacrifice." The one that answers by fire, He's God. And we know that maybe we'll just read here a little bit. Verse 24, He said, "Call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let Him be God." And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first for your many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. pretty sincere, weren't they? But they were sincerely wrong. They were serving the wrong God. And they didn't get the help and the blessing that they needed. In verse 29 it said, "And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of this offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." This is a very vital element in our lives today. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You know, sometimes our altar, you know, what is an altar? An altar is a place where we bow before God, we sacrifice to Him. It's a place where we give ourselves to Him. That's what an altar is for. And their altar, the altar of the true God, was broken down. It was dismantled. It wasn't in use. If the enemy can get us in that place, we're in trouble. We're in a very difficult place. But I'm going to say today that sometimes our altar can be broken down through different things that transpire in our lives. Sometimes it can come through wounds and hurts of other people. Sometimes it can come through disappointments. It can come through difficulties that maybe that have amounted, failures, disappointments. All those things can kind of cause our altar where we get to the place where we're not really sacrificing to God anymore. We're kind of withdrawing into ourselves. We're kind of hurt. We're kind of pulling back. We're disappointed. Maybe things didn't work out maybe like we thought they would. There are many different things that can cause our altar to become in disrepair. But Elijah here, he began to build the altar. He began to rebuild it. And if we find ourselves in that place, Lord, help us to begin to rebuild our altar too. The Lord didn't want a fancy altar. He just wanted stones that were... He didn't want hewn stones. He just wanted an altar. A simple, plain altar. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob unto the Lord, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. They did it the second time. Would you do that today? Elijah had confidence. He knew God. He was here because of God. It wasn't Elijah. It was God told him. You know, when God tells us something, it's powerful. It works. It's strong. It's mighty. It's right. It's true. And Elijah wasn't afraid. He said, Put the water on the sacrifice. You'd think you'd want that sacrifice as dry as it could be. Humanly speaking, you'd think water puts out fire. So why add water? It's because the trust and the faith and the confidence that he had in God. No doubts whatsoever. He knew he was there because God sent him. You know, we can have places in our experience like that. When we come to God and we put away all the other gods, God, and we give ourselves wholly to Him, God can begin to be revealed into us, into our hearts and our minds and our spirit. And we can overcome. We can be mighty through God. We can be victorious through the Lord today. Just like David's mighty men that stayed their ground and they fought, the Lord wrought victories through them. And you know, the Lord can wrought victories in our day and time. The day of God's power is not past. He can bring victories today in our time, today. He can help us to overcome our foes and our enemies and be what He wants us to be. But He reminded them, He said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Two opinions, just vacillated. And I thought about the scripture there in James. It said, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." A double-minded man. He's got two minds. He's got one mind to serve God and one mind to do his own thing. One mind to follow his own agenda. But the scripture there, reading on in James, it says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Do away with sin. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Bring your heart and your affection, just like he mentioned over there in other places, he said, "Incline your heart unto the Lord. And God will hear and He'll answer prayer and He'll help us. And He'll be there for us." And the Lord did that for them. He answered by fire. He came down and He consumed Elijah's sacrifice at the time of the evening sacrifice. But He did it. It was God's, according to God's plan. It wasn't Elijah just, "Oh, this is what I'm going to do." He was there because God told him to. And we can have that place of God's blessing in our heart, in our life, if we'll bring ourselves wholly to Him and put away other gods and give ourselves to Him. The Lord will help us and work through our lives to Him. The altar today represents a surrender to us. And a surrender is not always easy. It's easy to talk about. It's easy to mention. But will we really surrender and we say, "Lord, I want You to work in my life. More than anything else in life, I want You to be there and to be in me and to live in me and to be my God and my Savior." Surrender is not always easy, but it's part of the covenant. It's part of the plan. It's part of repairing our altar and our service to God. It's, "Lord, I want You to have Your way in my life. I want You to live in me. I want You to direct my course. I want You to help me to find a godly companion in life. I want You to help me to choose my occupation and the things that You want me to do. I want You to whittle my path and open the doors for me. I'm not going to knock them down. I'm not interested in making my own way." When we give ourselves up to the Lord, you know, that's when the Lord can begin to open up. And I've seen this so many times, just like Elijah, the fire comes. The Holy Spirit comes. There's a song that we sing. It says, "When thy soul the perfect price hath paid, God will send the fire." In other words, the Holy Spirit will be there. But we've got to have the surrender there. There's things that can hinder our prayers. There's things that we do that can hinder us. And the Lord wants those things removed. And He wants to be our all in all today. I also wanted to mention, I've been sick. I spent a lot of time reading in the book of Jeremiah when God commissioned them to go back and to rebuild the temple. But I want to say that they met opposition. And there were a lot of setbacks that they faced. And I'm going to say the same thing today. We are going to meet opposition. We're going to face setbacks. They went back. The first thing they did was they built the altar. All the walls were torn down. The palaces were down. The temple was down. It was just all a pile of rubbish. The first thing they did, they built an altar unto God and began bringing their sacrifice once again. And then the Lord, and different times the work, you know, the Lord was behind it. We see the decree and we see how God worked. But there was times where the work came to a complete standstill and stop because of setbacks. Because things that happened that weren't planned on. Because of opposition that came up. And I just want to encourage us today when we face setbacks that we don't allow it just to devastate us and stop us from building our altar and being what God wants us to be. But we recognize there were setbacks back then. There's been setbacks. The early church, they faced setbacks. They faced opposition and difficulties. And we will face setbacks at times. And Lord, help us at those times to... I think about how the Lord encouraged them. He sent Haggai the prophet. And He encouraged them with words, "Let's build, keep building, keep building." And I want to encourage us today that way also. Keep building in your spiritual life. I know sometimes there's places that we come into where maybe we suffered defeat, or maybe we don't really understand why we lost the battle or why things have worked out the way they are. But recognize there are going to be setbacks. You know, overall, when you look at the maybe a graph that if we depicted the rebuilding of the temple little by little, it was hard, it was difficult, it was strenuous. They had to watch, they had to have their swords on while they worked, and they had to have watchmen on guard. There's someone all the time on guard. Somebody had to be up during the night watching and keeping on guard, on post. It was a tiring, difficult time. But there was a gradual, you know, even though there was places where it stopped, there was a gradual upgoing all the way. Lord, help us today to continue to build in our spiritual lives the thing that God wants to be everything to us that He's been to our ancestors, to the people in the Scriptures. He's promised to be there for us, and it works. It works when the covenant is in place and our altar is there and we're offering ourselves and our sacrifices upon that altar. I wanted to mention that it's not, you know, being... Another scripture mentioned talk about the weapons of our warfare. It says they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're mighty weapons. They're mighty things that God has given us to overcome and to be victorious and to have the victory. And when I want to say mighty, I want to mention just a few of the things that I consider mighty. And I've been... Jeremiah was a mighty man of God. He lived in a difficult time, but he stayed true to God. When there was so much falseness and a plurality of God surrounding him, he stayed true to the true God. And there wasn't very many that heard his message. You know, if you look at Jeremiah's life, you know, you think, we like to read about the time of Isaiah when they came against the children of Israel and the Lord slew how many hundred thousand of them, and gave them a great victory and they won. But Jeremiah was still a mighty man. God kept him in that evil generation. He kept him. He gave him His Word. He gave him His... He had discernment. He had recognition of what good and evil was. You know, we live in a time where our world is losing a recognition of what good and what evil is. They're calling, and the Scriptures bears that out. They're calling evil good, and they're calling good evil. You know, they did that to Jeremiah. They labeled Jeremiah. They branded Jeremiah. Oh, he's way off base. Don't pay any attention to him. But he's the one that had the message. He's the one that told the truth. He's the one that suffered with the people. He's the one that gave himself. And the Lord was working through him, even though they wouldn't hear. He was the one that had the word of the Lord, that the Lord was talking to. That's a mighty man. That's a man that's got discernment. That's a man that's someone that's just not moved with all the influences and the things that are around about him. He's got a vision. He's got a focus. Lord, help us today. Jeremiah knew the will of God. He knew how to pray. He knew how to get a hold of God. And he knew that's a mighty man. That's a man that can do battle. That's a man that can stay the course. Even though outwardly it didn't look like he was prospering and anything that he was doing was advantageous, he was a mighty man. He served his generation well. He filled a gap. He filled a spot that Lord... Was it Jeremiah? No. It was the Lord working through Jeremiah. When you read there at the first chapter, he told Jeremiah, he said, "Don't say I'm a child. Don't say I can't do this." He said, "I'll make you a brazen wall before the enemies. I'll make you strong against evil. I'll preserve you and I'll help you." And he did. The Lord did just that to Jeremiah. He preserved him. He helped him. He gave him his word. He was faithful to him. We serve a mighty God today. We serve a God today that is still true and faithful. And Lord, help us today. Jeremiah was also, he was faithful. He was patient in the depths of his suffering, his difficulty. And he was faithful to God. You know, he went and gave him to messages. He went to the temple and preached. When they knew the people, I don't have that situation here. I feel like you all want to hear the word of the Lord. These people hated him. They wanted him dead. They conspired on his life. But he was faithful to give the word of the Lord. God's looking for mighty people today. He wants mighty men and women that are able to fill the gap. We have gaps. We have places, gaps, hedges that are broken up that God wants to fill people. He wants to put people in those gaps. In one place he said, "I look for a man to make up the hedge and to fill in the gap." Lord, help us today to allow the Lord to work through us. It's not our ability. It's nothing we can do within ourselves. It's just yielding ourselves to God. Lord, I take my hands off. And I know, I tell you, when I look back at the gods that I used to serve, all they brought me was trouble, heartache, and disappointment. And I don't want to go back to the gods of this world. I don't want to serve the gods that I used to serve and live for. They brought heartache. They brought trouble. You know, even though we give our hearts to the Lord, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. But God's promised to be with us. He's promised to see us through. And Lord, help us today to be... Let God be mighty in us. Let Him work mightily through us. Let Him speak through us. Let Him work through us and be the people that He's calling us to be. Pray for me. Thank you for your attention.